the thing that the real revelation is Katie O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was like when we were talking about her being in like Abby in The Last of Us, because physically she just like really fits the part. But we always said, like, you know, I've never seen her be anything but kind of tough and conflicted. I've never seen her display like the vulnerability. Oh my God, she puts on a real full spectrum performance here that impressed the shit out of me. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another First Run Bald Movie. Slightly different format this time. We're giving it a couple days after we normally do, because Jim had a scheduling conflict the night that it was released. This is the latest film by Rose Glass. You might be familiar with her horror film, St. Maud, that came out a few years previously. It is a collaboration between A24 in the U.S. and Lionsgate in the U.K., starring Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien, Jenna Malone, and a nearly unrecognizable... No, that's a different one. And Anna Baryshnikov, as well as Dave Franco, the other Franco brother, and Ed Harris. Boy, this was exactly what I was thinking it was going to be. And then about halfway through the movie, it dovetails into much more. I was thinking I was going to get an erotic thriller. And I definitely got that, but then I also got a whole lot more. I'm curious about what you thought about Love Lies Bleeding, Jim.
I had heard it reported and confirmed in several places that it's an erotic thriller. I disagree.
Really?
Yeah. There's some erotic stuff very early on in this movie, but it's way fewer and farther between. And at some point, it just drops off entirely. Like, you'll get a little bit of it up front, a couple of scenes, and then the rest of the movie... there's nothing there for the erotic thriller crowd. I expected a lot more of the eroticism if you want to actually label this an erotic thriller. To me, it is more of a dark romantic thriller.
Okay.
And sure, maybe that's a distinction that's splitting hairs, but I don't know. That's what it felt like to me. Has moments where I felt like I was watching Requiem for a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Has moments where I feel like I'm watching a Coen Brothers movie, some of their darker stuff, like their noir stuff. I really liked this movie a lot. Way more than I honestly expected to going in. The reason I wanted to see this movie is I was intrigued by the trailer, because it seemed like, oh, they're doing really weird stuff here.
I don't know if I'll
like it, because I'm not a huge fan of Kristen Stewart typically, but the Ed Harris stuff looks compelling because it's so strange. I got to see what this character is, and I got in the movie and I was like, oh, actually this is way more compelling of a narrative than I expected.
I was constantly surprised by the movie. Again, I was getting kind of what I thought I was getting in the first third or so, but then it kept on like transforming and like opening up and closing off opportunities and ramping up the tension and went directions I honestly wasn't expecting. And I'll disagree with you a little bit. I do think it qualifies as an erotic thriller. I think there's going to be people walking in this theater that get something awakened in them. But like what throws you off the scent is like the things that they play up for sex appeal and eroticism in the first half of the movie, they kind of show the darker side. So it's like aggressively unsexy. Some of the same materials, aggressively unsexy with a different change in perspective. And boy, I don't want to get too much into spoilers, because a lot of the probably pleasure of this movie is just kind of discovering it for yourself. But I do want to praise the, because I'm kind of hit and miss with Kristen Stewart, you know, out of the two, Twilight leads. It seems like Robert Pattinson's gotten a lot more interesting material. That might not be fair. I haven't kept up with a lot of what Kristen Stewart's doing.
Yeah.
And in the early goings, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, she's just Belle from Twilight, except for she likes gal monsters instead of guy monsters at this point. But I felt like that was a rope-a-dope, because she did have a lot more like strength, resiliency, grit, moxie, whatever, strength, agency as the movie went on and as her kind of like tale unfolds. I was like, I don't know if it's a great performance, but it surprised me coming from her.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I don't care to even follow Kristen Stewart's career because, you know, Twilight and all that. She's just not my cup of tea. But like, I think she has done a lot of work on her acting in subsequent years, and I think it's paying off. I know she was actually nominated for Academy Award for some movie called like Spencer or something. I don't know what it is.
I know she's done good work. It just, unlike Robert Pattinson, I just haven't seen it, you know?
Yeah. I do appreciate that both of them, actually, Robert Pattinson too, they're both taking big swings. I think like this is a movie that is not something that would propel you into the spotlight. And I don't know if that's what she's seeking, but clearly she wants to do interesting work. And I think it is paying off because this is a good performance. And I eventually end up losing the Kristen Stewart in it, which I think is the most you can say about her. And a lot of that comes down to, I think, the work she's done on her acting. We were talking before this and our producer was saying that she feels like the actor, an actor who is acting, not an actor who just like showed up in character and she feels like she's putting in work on set. And I think that's true, but I think it's paying off. And half of it is exemplified by how little she blinks in this movie. Because one of the things that really turns me off about her acting, especially in Twilight, is she just has this nervous, twitchy energy to her. And I don't know if I retroactively need to reevaluate her and say, well, she was doing that intentionally, or if I need to say she's worked on that since and really overcome that, because that's gone. Like, she has this energy, but it's what is necessary for the role, not what she kind of brings as an actor.
Yeah, if you've seen Kristen Stewart before, and I saw her in a couple of things. I think she was like Zathura. She's also in that, what was that thing with, I think it was Fred Armistead, maybe, where she was playing, is her and Jesse Eisenberg, where they were like these teenage kind of losers hanging out at a roller, like a failing theme park. They were like the carnies and ride operators, and she kind of developed that mannerism, that kind of it's a little bit of who was the mutt from Indiana Jones who's kind of fall from grace,
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a gender bent Shia LaBeouf, and she's got that like just radiating nervous, I'm not comfortable in my skin energy. Yeah. And she also has she's playing this kind of like scuzzball tomboy. You know, like she's really doing a lot of physicality work here too. Mm-hmm. She put a little muscle.
Yeah, she did. She looks like she got physically into the role as well a little bit.
Yeah, she's playing this gym manager who's fucking around with testosterone. And the thing that the real revelation is Katie O'Brien.
Yeah,
that was like when we were talking about her being in like Abby in The Last of Us, because physically she just like really fits the part. But mm-hmm. we always said, like, you know, I've never seen her be anything but kind of tough and conflicted. I've never seen her display like the vulnerability. Oh my God, she puts on a real full spectrum performance here that impressed the shit out of me.
Oh yeah. No, I came away from this going, damn, okay, she can act. Let's see her in a lot more stuff. Let's see her. I still want her to do so many badass roles because I want her to be on our badass list. This isn't necessarily a badass role, so I don't think it's going to get her there. But get her into movies where she can show off her chops physically
film. Yes, get her a serious action film, like along the lines of like Extraction. John Wick. Get her Extraction, because I think she has the tools, and she's only like 35. She's got the tools. If she's put in another decade or decade and a half of work, she could. I don't know why she couldn't be a 3C badass.
Top tier. Yeah, I can see it.
She's going to have to get like one action film under her belt over, and maybe an iconic one or two over the next couple. But like that. Yeah, she's got the goods, man.
Very impressed.
So, and then Ed Harris is just, you described him in our promo pieces as a living crypt keeper,
gun running crypt keeper. Yeah, he's
so grizzled. It's like you took the Man in Black from Westworld and buried him in the desert for 5 years, and then you dug him up and said, "Action!" That's what he is. putting
and
on.
And there's a bit of like a Mandy vibe to a few scenes.
There is
definitely.
Well. I would be comfortable saying there's a lot of magical realism is, I think, the thing where it's like there are some, I think, visuals that are not literally supposed to be true. They are like the physical manifestations of the characters' interior thoughts about themselves and each other, which I saw in some discussion
really
of movies seemed like completely went over people's head. But again, it's all subjective. I you know, who knows? But that's what I got out of it. Film looks great. Got a, I think, a great plot. I'm really interested to watch it again to see if it stands up to scrutiny, because there's a couple things where like I got rug pulled. I'm like, I'm not sure if all of the rug was under my feet, but you know, nothing to where like I was coming out of theater feeling I got tricked. It's just like I'd like to see that again to see if everything connects. But all the thematically,
all the broad strokes,
like emotionally,
are there. Like they paint a picture of all of these characters without needing to get specific on things, and it really worked for me.
Yeah, and like I said, there's some sexy stuff in this. There's some really gross stuff in this. There's pretty, and it's got a pretty high capacity for violence too. I definitely think it's worth checking out just for the experience of it. Unless you just can't handle nudity, you know, and sex.
Sure. Yeah.
That's just like, yes, the last, you know, don't watch this with your parents, maybe. But
even then, there's not that much in there. They're really just like, that's the disappointing thing for me. I expected erotic. Give me erotic. Don't tease me at the beginning.
It's
for
not
five
often
seconds,
you get to
then...
see full on lesbian fucking sucking. Like, you know, like it's
sure.
I guess I was pleasantly surprised at how explicit it was. You know, it wasn't just.
Well, I had just watched.
With some of the dialogue and stuff, like, you know, it's spicy. It's spicy. The things they say to each other and the situations they're in.
Sure. The language.
Oh, yeah.
Runaway
Dolls.
More,
Runaway Dolls.
Yeah.
I just saw
Driveaway Dolls, and that was like more of an erotic thriller. I
disagree. I think Driveaway Dolls really comes across looking like a faded black and white photo compared to this movie. Like, I'm glad we saw them in this order.
It's a comedy. I mean, it's different. It's way different because it's primarily a comedy.
Sure.
It's not a thriller so much as it's
but
a
I do feel like
comedy.
Ethan kind of got out-Cohen'd by this movie. And I'm just glad. Like, these movies are so similar in form, if not function, that they kind of invite comparison. And I'm glad I saw what, you know, like I said, I said kind things about that movie, but like, I'll never see that movie again. And I could easily see myself watching this a couple more times. Just for, like I said, the performances, the visuals.
I think it's reasonable. I do think this is a superior movie. So, you know, if you're only going to see one lesbian erotic thriller this summer, see Love Lies Bleeding.
There's been a bunch. It's a cottage industry. Like I was talking about, I just saw The Handmaiden a couple weeks ago, which is directed by the guy, I forget his name, something. He's directed by the guy who did Old Boy. If you want to see a lesbian erotic thriller with old boy sensibilities, check out that one too. It's called The Handmaiden. Park Chan-wook, that's it. I knew it was Park something, but I couldn't figure out. But yeah, that's good as well. I just think, this is, compared to Driveway Dolls, this blows the doors off that one. Anything else we want to say? I'm really looking forward to more from Rose Glass. I really like Saint Maud. I thought that was a really effective horror movie.
Haven't seen that.
There's definitely, you can see the fingerprints in that, just a way like when you watch Spider-Man, you can see the Sam Raimi in it. You can definitely see the fingerprints here. I'm really curious to see what else Rose Glass has got up her sleeves. So, we got more to say in the spoiler section, but should we get to the rest of the shtick?
Yeah, let's get to the trailers for sure.
First, before we do that, upcoming movies though, because we've done a couple, we've got our schedule for the next part of the year kind of hashed out. There's a couple of question marks we still got that we won't talk about, but next week we're going to check out Roadhouse, which is going to be another kind of unconventional first run movie because it comes out on Amazon. It's an Amazon Prime movie, the remake, reimagining a sequel to Roadhouse, starring
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, thank you.
One of my favorite actors.
Directed by Doug Liman, who was involved with the Bourne trilogy.
That's promising.
Yeah, he's got a lot of action movies under his belt. So that sounds really cool. And April 5th, boy, I'm really excited about it. I went from not knowing what the hell this movie was to can't wait to see it. Dev Patel's Monkey Man.
Yeah, dude.
If you haven't seen this trailer, you gotta. It's like a Bollywood-infused John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty incredible. Then on May 3rd, we've got The Fall Guy, one of my nostalgic action faves from the late 70s, early 80s, Lee Majors, Heather Locklear, hello. They're going to remake it into The Fall Guy. I've heard good things about it. And then the other one I'm super excited for, May 24th, Furiosa.
Oh, yeah. Follow-up to Fury Road, yeah.
There's a couple of maybes because there's like Civil War, which, you know, that's... Alex Garland, that looks really interesting.
I'm 100% going to see that. It's a question of whether we want to talk about that.
Do I want to
without starting a civil war ourselves? Because I could see that being pretty divisive. But Alex Garland, man, like Nick Offerman's in that playing the president. You get the guy who was in Devs, who I really liked.
I'm very curious to see. Yeah, the guy who played the Thufir Hiwot in Dune. I'm really curious to see how they partner Texas and California up, because like that's the big question in my mind. Yeah, like they're the two separate states, and I don't know if they're like allied or kind of going it alone. I could see Cascadia and California kind of like succeed, but like Texas and California making common cause, hard to believe, but we'll see what they got. The and then the other one is Sasquatch Sunset.
That's a maybe. Yeah, it looks like nothing else I've seen.
Again, look at the trailer, man. The trailer is like, you know, that first part of like 2001. It's like that, only the whole movie. It's just a monkey men tribe, you know, it's Bigfoot.
With some comedy mixed in there, too. So, yeah.
And some big names wearing full latex prosthetics, and you're never going to recognize them. And they're doing that. It might suck. I think there's only two ways this movie can go. It can be just really, really bad or really, really great. And I'm hoping for the greatness. But we got, because there's some scheduling issues, some interest issues, some is this even going to be good issues. But that's the state of what we're looking at.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the Premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah well. Lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content plus ad-free feeds.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
Let's talk trailers. Get right into Monkey Man. It's the first time I've seen this in theater.
This is like John Wick
about it.
Meets RRR.
Yeah, that's exactly the feeling.
Because RRR had that like social justice for India plot going on, and that's what's missing out of John Wick. It's like a real reason why he's killing everybody aside from his dog.
Also, just the heightened
seems awesome.
The thing I like about the Bollywood stuff, especially some of the action movies like RRR and some of the others I've seen, is like they are not afraid to do like almost Avatar: The Last Airbender shit. And not like a magical world. It's just these guys are so fucking powerful and strong. They do wild stuff. That's how you can take it. That's how you cross, you know, just like The Matrix took a little bit of anime and a little bit of kung fu and a little bit of, you know, Eastern wire foo and turn it into something like this. Yeah. You can constantly remix the culture.
And the music,
pretty exciting.
The fucking music, like the hip hop Indian flair that they've got going on is just top notch. I can't tell. Is that Jay-Z on one of those tracks?
I don't know. It
sounded a lot like Jay-Z to me, which it surprised me because I'm like, is he still producing like relevant shit?
I'm sure.
I haven't listened
to
him in a decade, but
yeah, it's been since his 444 album that I've heard him, but it wouldn't surprise me. It is on. It's wild how hip hop is the dominant music form worldwide.
Oh yeah.
You look at South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, the Middle East. Everyone fucking loves hip hop.
Pushing it all.
And it's all just like they're not listening to an American. It's like they're just like they're remixing it up in their own languages, own cultures. It's interesting to see it take over the world. I saw a movie called Tarot. Or I'm sorry, a trailer called Tarot.
Me too.
Where it seems like it's Talk to Me, where they find this mysterious, creepy tarot deck and they start doing tarot readings and crazy shit starts happening. It looks like it could be pretty scary.
It looks like 13 Ghosts. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I do. With Kevin Bacon.
Am I thinking of the wrong one? I'm thinking of the one where there's this house that they get stuck in with like F. Murray Abraham, maybe, and there are X number of ghosts that they are trapped in the house.
Oh, that's the one you're throwing with. That's with Tony Shalhoub and Matthew Lillard. I don't know what the hell I was thinking with the other one. It has F. Murray Abraham. Yeah.
That one. It looks a lot like that to me, where they went through and they showed each of the ghosts, right? Because the ghosts are all represented by different tarot cards.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, don't show me all these. Maintain some scare for the movie. God, just tell me like, oh, we're going to show you all these. You know, it needs to be like, and here's the child, and here's the maiden, and much more. Instead of like, and here's 12 of them.
Yeah. The next movie I saw the TV Glow, the next trailer.
Oh, this one looks interesting.
It does look interesting. It's kind of like a retro kind of spoofy horror film. It's not being billed as a comedy, but I thought I saw a little bit of elements of comedy in it. Maybe it's just Justice Smith. I think he's funny. You know, I really liked him in Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, and Detective Pikachu. He's the man. American Society of Magical Negroes is getting savaged out there.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like people like that, but I'm glad that he's able to maybe bounce back with something better.
He's from Jurassic World series, all that stuff.
There's a little bit of that like a Mandela effect where like we all remember this old television series, but like there's no evidence that it existed except for we kind of see that's definitely, you know, the biggest Mandela I'm aware of right now is everyone losing their mind over the Fruit of the Loom logo. Have you heard about this, Jim?
No. What is this?
Do you know the Fruit of the Loom brand with the underwear?
Sure. Michael Jordan.
What is their logo
taught me
look
everything
like?
I need to know. It's got grapes. It's got an apple. It's like fruit. It's a pile of fruit.
Mm-hmm. Is that fruit coming out of a cornucopia?
No.
It never has, and yet there's legions of people on the internet swearing that this is one of these things where for whatever mysterious, either multidimensional or government conspiracy, they're hiding the fact that Fruit of the Loom had a cornucopia on the logo.
No, that's just your rapidly rotting brain confusing all of the Thanksgiving imagery with the Fruit of the Loom logo. No, it never had
that. It's like the Baron Stain Bears, like I still have the books from my childhood. They didn't change fucking names, man. Like you can do like people have like Snopes did an exhaustive logo collection with Fruit of the Loom going back to like 1910 and there's never been a fucking you can find two or three images. They're all the same bullshit doctored image that people got in a thrift store.
You can
see the commercials like and from the 90s where it's just a fruit. There's no cornucopia. Those are on YouTube. But the Mandelas are in the, you know, they're big right now. They're big. They're the next flat earth bullshit. Apologies to anyone that believes in them. I'm sure it's harmless. I'm sure it's not going to turn into the latest culture thing that threatens to destroy us all.
I do think it's a cool idea, right? Like this TV show mysteriously canceled and it becomes this mythological thing that might have some legs to it. This looks really cool to me.
Yeah, and then Civil War, which I'm interested in. I don't know if it's going to be silly, if it's going to be profound, if it's going to say anything that's like positive or you know, I don't know if this is going to be Black Klansman 2.0, but I'm kind of scared of seeing it. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, man, I just, oof, it's rough material, you know?
Yeah, I'm not worried about seeing it. I'll have my opinion on it. I'm worried about
coming on a microphone
and talking about it.
I just don't, like, I've talked a bunch on lunch. I'm just not feeling good about things, man. A movie called Civil War just presupposes that America is going to devolve into violence.
Yeah, I guess, like, if you're
that's,
yeah, yeah, if that's scary. Your number one fear right now, sure.
Some, I don't know if it's my number one fear. That might be like all the glaciers in Greenland melting in the next decade and raising the fucking oceans by about 10 feet. That's probably my number one fear. But yeah, Civil War doesn't seem fun. Seeing a lot of countries divided by civil war looks miserable. I don't want to live in that kind of environment. Oof. All right. Did you see any trailers I didn't list? Because that's the exhaustive list of mine. All right. Well, this is where we say goodbye to the people who are not in the club. If you want to be in the club and listen to our full spoiler detail, including, I'm sure there's going to be free-willing discussion of what if Katie O'Brien as Abby in The Last of Us, you got to be a club member. Go to support.baldmove.com to get ad-free feeds. Tons of bonus content like this spoiler edition of Love Lies Bleeding. One note before we kick it to the spoiler section, I might have said at some point in these reviews that we're doing Roadhouse as a separate first-run film. I was incorrect. We're doing that as an OTC and off the clock. So that's an all-premium podcast. We're going to be talking about that and Three-Body Problem next week. That's a hell of a good OTC. That might be worth supporting us all by itself. Support.baldmove.com. Just want to make that programming note in case I miffed it, because I think I did. So again, no first-run movie next week. Roadhouse is going to be on the OTC for next week. We'll certainly be back by April 5th for Monkey Man. All right, now everybody wants to hear the spoilers. Follow me into the spoiler section. Or go to support.baldmove.com so you can get access.